Welcome, lovely listeners, to Soul Stirred, stories of growth and the human experience. I'm Emily Garcia.
And I'm Casey Clark.
We will be your guides on this journey. We are so glad you are here.
Each week, we'll come together, sometimes with other incredible thinkers, creators, and adventurers, to generously share stories of self-discovery, recovery, triumph, and what it means to live a life on purpose.
No matter where you are in your own journey, connection is here for you at Soul Stirred.
Settle in, take a deep breath in, and let's inspire each other.
Welcome to Soul Stirred. Hello, Soul Stirred listeners. Today we are here with Christina Garcia. Christina is a teacher. She has been teaching for 15 years, and she holds a bachelor's in modern language and master's in communication. Before teaching, Christina spent many years in the nonprofit sector in the Denver area, focusing on education, policy work, women's empowerment, and immigrant rights. Christina is a proud, born, and raised Denverite, and her journey is what dreams are made of, a first-generation daughter to Mexican immigrants. The lessons Christina has learned from her parents and family continue to guide her. Her roots are firmly planted, and she continues to grow while paying it forward. Christina loves spending time with her large family. She especially looks forward to Viernes Social, which is Social Friday. This is where she eats delicious homemade Mexican meals and fills up on family, food, and love. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Casey. Thank you so much for having me and for that wonderful intro. I'm excited to be here with you guys today.
Yeah, we're grateful you're here. Why don't you start us off by telling us a story or something that has come up in your life that has influenced how you have become who you are today?
I'm just so excited to share this part of my life with you and to really make those connections that you said in the intro, because it's so, you know, I think of my story, my family's story, and in so many ways, I'm sure that other people can find threads that relate to their own lives. But Emily and Casey, I want to start off with telling you, as a teacher, I often think back on my life experiences and tell stories to my students. And so this story comes to mind when I think of a moment that really transformed me. And it happened with my dad and my 12 or 13 year old self. So I want to first of all have you think of being 12 and 13 and what comes to mind being that age, right? You're just like in your own world, you're living in your bubble, right? You're like worried about the clothes that you're wearing, what people think of you, the way, at least this was me, right? How I look, how I dress. And I played softball. So my dad, when I was very, very young, signed me up for softball. And I'm so glad he did, because I really did love sports. And to this day, I think it taps into my competitive nature and also that physicality. And we used to have, my dad had this ugly van. I didn't want to be picked up in it. I wanted none of my friends to see me in this van. And so I think he knew that, but, you know, it was the only van we had. And, you know, just in that moment, wanted nothing to do with it. So he would always drive me to softball practice. This was our ritual. We'd go to practice and, you know, sometimes we would talk, but mostly we would listen to music. I really didn't want to have deep conversations with my dad, and I would mostly listen to his stories. So this one time, he must have known I was having a day, and he turns down the radio and he says, "Do you know that I'm rich?" And I was like, caught my attention, because we were not rich, right? We lived in a very modest, very small house in Northwest Denver. You know, we had this ugly colored van that was 20 years old. It was not a modern car. And so when he said, "Do you know that I'm rich?" I immediately looked over at him, kind of sat up a little bit, and I was like, okay, you have my attention. And he says, I'm rich because if a man was to walk up to me right now and say, I will give you $1 million for your daughter. He's like, I wouldn't give you for $1 million. And he's like, and if he was to say, I'll give you $10 million for your daughter and your son and for, you know, your wife and all of your children, you know, I wouldn't do it. And I was like, what? What is this? What are you saying? And he's like, so yeah, I'm rich. He's like, I am the richest man in the world. And so in my mind, I didn't know what that story meant, right? Because I was like, we live in a small house. We have this horrible, ugly car. And then later on, I realized he is so right. I was like, oh my gosh, he loves me so much to say that, you know, he has this family, my mom, my siblings, and all that comes along with that. And that's kind of who my dad is. And it is the basis for who I am in terms of just my family. And now as an adult, I appreciate that, especially when, you know, I have friends and family who say, wow, you talk to your parents every day. You have great relationships with your siblings. You know, I think about that and it gives me and it fills me with so much gratitude to know that that is a form of wealth that is, you know, priceless. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was that story that I often think about with my dad that that fills me, you know, and I just pause and think, look around and I think, wow, I really got it. You know, I am rich.
Wow. Tell more about your mom and your dad and where they came from and how they came and, you know, give us the background and history of your family and this wonderful wealthy man, Christina.
Yes. I'm so excited to tell you about that. Again, growing up, I feel like there's sometimes we're, at least I was so in my own zone and in my own thoughts and mind that I didn't really, care, I guess, to understand my parents' story. I just knew that we were here and it was hard. You know, in the 80s and the 90s growing up, Denver was a different place to be growing up, especially with as many siblings as I have. It was constantly like, we're fighting for, you know, the last ice cream bar or something, you know, it's just like the scarcity mentality of, but my parents actually came over in the early 70s. They are both from Mexico. And my mom grew up in a very poor town in Mexico. And my dad, he comes from a line of barbers. And so my grandfather was a barber and his father was a barber. And the thing about being a barber in Mexico is that it was almost considered a white collar job because you would have businessmen or politicians go out and get their hair cut, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was something that my grandfather owned a barbershop, actually a couple of barbershops. And so what happened is that in the late 60s, a lot of things were happening. If we look historically, what was going on, you know, JFK had been shot and, you know, there was a military base that was in my parents, close to my parents' town, that it shut down, this military base. So people weren't going to get their hair cut often, you know, because military, you have to have your hair a certain way. Additionally, the hippie movement happened. And so people were not getting their haircuts anymore, you know? And so that was really hard. My parents had already had six of my siblings in Mexico. And they decided, you know, let's see what else is out there. My dad had a brother who lived in Denver. And they, at that time, getting a visa was, you know, just like a travel visa was an option, and they did. But they came to Colorado, and they came to Denver specifically in November, as I'm told, with just, they didn't even have the proper jackets. You know, they just didn't realize how cold it was going to be. And that is how they ended up here in the 70s, and took a while for them to get status, actually. The status that they finally got was in 1986. And so I, as Emily said in the intro, I was the first in my family to be born in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so I'm coming from immigrant parents, you know, my dad, he had always worked as a barber and there wasn't that option for him here. He had to actually work construction and that's what he did for his whole life, but had never picked up a shovel or any construction gear until he came. And that was the only thing that was available. To this day, I don't know if you know the big white building in downtown Denver called the Republic Plaza. You can see it. It's the skyline of Denver, one of the buildings that make that skyline. And I always believed that because my dad worked on that building, and in my, you know, 5-year-old self or however old I was, I always thought that my dad built it all by himself. Mm. So that was like, you know, the thing of saying, you know, my dad built that building. And so I see that my dad worked in the Republic Plaza. My mom actually for a time in the late 80s, early 90s worked at the cash register building. She cleaned offices. And so that was what she did. And so I often think of when I look at my roots, I think of my parents, but I also think of my own roots here in Denver. And when I look at the skyline, I see that it was my parents' blood, sweat, and tears that went into those very buildings. And it does bring a smile to my face as I drive into work because I do pass by downtown Denver. I just smile and think, you know, these are my roots, not only because my parents and the choice that they made to come to Denver, but also the work that they did to make the city what it is in some way, you know, and then I get to share that with my children now.
Wow, that's such a cool way to look at the place you live and to feel like, this isn't just a, you know, where I work and where I live, but I actually, there are roots here and I think roots in the intangible and tangible ways. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the experience they had when they first arrived. I'd imagine your parents getting to the US and having 6 children wasn't an easy experience. What do you know about that?
Yeah. So it was not, easy. I sometimes think of what we fear as people. You know I do. I fear what I don't know. And I think that seeing people who may not speak your language, my parents' language was Spanish, and still primarily is to this day. I mean, I it's commendable to know that they were able to navigate the way that they did in such a way that provided opportunities for us. So there was, you know, there was a lot of racism that existed and still does, you know, because people look different, because they had many children, right? They were all so small. And so my dad and my mom experienced that firsthand, especially my older siblings. It was really hard when they went to school, not knowing the language, not having the adequate clothing, you know, not dressing the part. They stood out.
I'm just curious if you could tell us and our listeners a little bit about who you are in the world today and what's happening in the world today, and then relate it for us to the sounds of these sturdy, wise, intelligent, strong, resilient, perseverant people who your parents were.
I think of my family, obviously, that are the basis, the foundation for my values. And I keep going back in moments in my life when I'm paused and just like, where do I go? You know, and I look at their example. I mentioned it earlier, of being of service to others. Mm-hmm. Because along the way, they, as I mentioned, they encountered so many amazing, wonderful people who helped. They were the teachers. They were, you know, the people at church or whatever space. And they themselves, in the moments when they had nothing, they continued to give. So I feel like every moment in my life when I think of, you know, right now the word that comes to mind is era. You know, okay, a little nod to Taylor Swift, right? Every era of my life, I think, who were the people that really guided me, right? So I have this foundation from my family, which is very much rooted in community, right? You learn to share, to communicate, to even argue, right? With your siblings, with your parents. And it's really healthy to know how to do that and to navigate. And I feel like there are moments in my life where I'd been placed in opportunities where I got to help people, you know, and I started to find that that was a strength that I had for whatever reason. That is a gift that I just feel is innate in me. I can go back to being in third grade. And if you look at Denver and the evolution of Denver and the influx of people who have come and gone and whatnot, in third grade, there was a wave of students at my elementary school who were only Spanish speaking. And I am bilingual. And so I remember that my teacher was so, you know, she would so frazzled because she didn't speak Spanish, but she knew that she needed to instruct these students. And I remember that I felt such empathy for these two young men. There were two boys, you know, my classmates, third graders. And I remember taking the initiative to just sit next to them and explain things to them. Like, this is just translating, you know, translating the activity, the worksheets. And I remember the look that they felt of just somebody, their classmate, sitting next to them and helping them, right? So it's like one moment that stands out in my mind of okay, I helped. I taught them. I was in this moment and I was of service, you know, like that felt really good and built my self-esteem and was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then later on, as I went through middle school and even high school, there were always these moments where I would catch myself explaining things, taking the time to explain things to friends or just to have a conversation with mentors or teachers. But I always remember when I was going to college, I was sitting with one of my siblings and I was trying to decide, you know, there comes a time when you have to declare a major. At that time, you know, we didn't have the internet catalog to go through. It was like this physical catalog that you had to look through. And I was like, I'm really horrible at math, I said. So I can't be anything that's like math related, right? The stories that we tell ourselves. Yeah. Because now I'm like, actually, I'm okay at math. Yeah. You know, just like it was just so funny. But I was like, I can't do math. And so my sister was with me and she was like, okay, what about this? And she's like, oh, no, that has math, too much math. You can't do that. And so then I was like, okay, what about a teacher? And then she looked at me and she's like, do you want to be rich or do you want to be poor? Mm. And I was like, I want to be rich. And she's like, then you can't be a teacher. You can't be a social worker. You can't be any of these things. And so, right. But my sister, I mean, she was young herself and she's advising me on like my life path. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I can't be a teacher, can't be a social worker, can't be anything that helps people because I'm not going to be rich. So I was like, okay. So I went and I majored in business and I thought I'm going to make money and hated every day of business college at my university. I was like, what is a T-graph? Debits? Credits? Oh my God, I had no idea what that meant. And so once I graduated, I entered the nonprofit world and found so much of the things that I was good at naturally were starting to come up in these places. And I was like, oh, I like doing this. I like doing that. I like helping people. And it really has come full circle. You know, I have been teaching now for 15 years and I feel that I maybe am not, you know, like going back to the lesson of my father, right? Like I may not have like, ooh, like I'm not like doing this all day long, you know, like I just like, you know, money, like just handing out the bills. But I am so fulfilled in what I do that I get to work with students, that I get to work at the school that I work at. I just feel like that is the cherry on top. Mm-hmm. It is aligns with the values that I grew up with. And I just feel like a sense, like this sense of purpose. When I think back and I'm like, of course I was meant to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I was meant to be in this place. And it's so funny because I often tell my sister, like, why did you tell me not to do this? And she's just like, why did you listen to me?
Yeah.
Nobody told you to listen to me. Yeah. Who knew what I was? I didn't know what I was talking about.
She wasn't wrong. Right.
Yeah.
We don't pay our teachers or our social workers or our helpers or healers in this country at the same level that as the value of the impact that you're having and they're having on mm-hmm. a daily basis. And back to your dad, you were already rich.
Yeah.
You just didn't know it yet. Right.
That is so true. Yes. I did not know that. And of course, it was meant to be. I was thinking earlier, I was with my parents because it's my mom's birthday. We went out for brunch. And I was just having small talk with her of, you know, how did you celebrate your birthday when you were a child? Mm-hmm. And she got really teary eyed. And she says, oh, they didn't even remember sometimes it was my birthday. You know, she grew up so poor on a ranch and just didn't have the luxury of even having a doll. You know, she said that all she wished for was a doll when she was a child. And then she says, we didn't have birthdays because they were poor and they were sad. Mm. And then I let her have her moment. And then I looked at her and my dad and I said, and to think now we're here sitting in this restaurant having a meal. And she's like, I never thought that this was going to be my life. Mm. And so as I am sitting across from her, you know, this grown woman, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I'm a grown woman. And there's so much gratitude I feel, you know, for just their story and their journey to get to this place and what they've created and how they've done that so that we can give forward and we can keep paying it forward. You know, I just think that that is really such a gift. And I often think of that when I'm looking at people who just want a shot, you know, and all of the helpers along the way that just see that. And for some reason, you know, just, it takes just this moment to provide something or to steer them in the right path. And then lo and behold, you know, generations, they will feel that for generations to come. At least that's how I feel.
The visual in my mind is like a tree, like the choices and the sacrifices that your parents made were like that base of the tree that created roots and branches. And you and your siblings are branches, and each of you have created branches, and not only biologically within family, but in the connections that all of you have made. And so having roots that are based on values and based on community and based on service, how it's really profound how far that can go.
Amazing. I think that that's right. It's so the visual that I use, Emily, when I think of, you know, the conversations that I have with my children. I have two girls and they often will be in a moment when we're in the car or maybe just, you know, when we're alone and they'll say things about, oh, I love our family, you know, and it's just not this, you know, my husband and the, you know, my girls and I, like the four of us, it's the whole, to your point, I'm like the whole tree, all of the branches. And so I think when I look at myself going back to Casey, like who I've become and how I've evolved is, you know, we all have these moments and the people who have helped those moments where the path could have been this or that. And I go back, and it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, Em, about the tree, because look, I have a tree right here.
Oh,
like this is my visual of just I have this notebook that I sometimes, you know, just journal in or write in, And it is this tree analogy. Those roots are so deep. And I look at my parents and the fortitude and the insight that they had to, and not only the insight, but like the foresight, right? To look ahead and to say, we have to stay grounded. Mm. We have to stay grounded, because then you stay the course, you plant those seeds, and then you do see the fruits of that labor. Mm. And I'm living proof of that. My children are living proof of that. I was just recently talking to one of my nieces who is 34, and she works for a construction company, and she's pretty high up in the company. And she recently wrote a little bio and cited my dad's story about working at the Republic Plaza. Mm-hmm. And she managed this huge project of a building that was off of 15th and California downtown. And in her little bio, she says, but to be fair, my grandpa, has still got one up on me because his building is still taller than mine.
Nice.
So I think that's just so sweet to know that we all do come back to
our roots.
Our roots. Yeah. Our roots.
I imagine for your mom and dad, you and your siblings and your nieces and nephews, are their dream come true. You are their why. Why they made the hard journey from Mexico to America, why they persevered and forged ahead to make a better life and give opportunity to their children. I want to shout out happy birthday to your mom too.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. She's happy so birthday. Sweet.
Yeah. She's so sweet. She is so sweet. The phone was just ringing nonstop this morning, and just a testament to what a rock she has been, is this partnership, and also the example of their life. Of just always giving. And I think, Casey, I was listening to one of the podcasts where you mentioned like you always had people in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like people who were transitioning whatever their journey was. And I think of that too. I think of, the connection that I thought of when I listened to that is my parents have been that nexus, right? That brick house that is just withstood the test of time. It stands there, and people, every time that they've needed something, they've come through, and my parents are that root system. Mm-hmm. And that is so incredible and such an example for me and the work that I do as an educator. Mm-hmm. And that I continue to do to give back to communities that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. Is the example of my dad always saying, or my mom always saying, like, oh yeah, you have nothing to do. Well, there's always something to do. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because
when you want to go, never mind, I take it back. I'm busy.
I do. Yeah. I'm good. But it's this idea that has been in me of I'm paused or I need a moment. And then I'm like, oh no, but there's still more to do.
Yeah.
And I've learned, obviously, through tools and whatnot, like you can take, and I can take breaks, and it's okay to take care of myself and to do all of that. But I look at their example and I just think, oh, but they've said, always be of service, like help, keep helping, keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So there is that piece of just the work is never done.
Yeah. It's like you're bored and think you need to be entertained. Find a person to serve.
Exactly.
You think we have nothing. Find something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And something to give away to someone else who needs it even more than we do.
Mm.
I can hear the threads as you're highlighting them.
Absolutely.
The kind of high character people your parents are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. When my mom, in her broken English, the lessons also, and this is just observing, right? I think my childhood and just who I am, I like to observe people. And I think of Emily when I think of this too, the empathy, like the empath, right? That comes out, you're just observing and looking and right. But my mom, the connections that she makes, even in her broken English with like the people at the grocery store, and this idea of just sparking up a conversation and trying to connect somehow and to see people's humanity. And so I just by observing them and observing my siblings, it really does fuel me to, in the sense of, okay, how am I acknowledging somebody else's humanity? What connection am I trying to make? Even if it's just for a moment, because we don't know what anybody is going through. And I often think of my parents and the hardship that they had. I didn't know how poor we were, you know, like just because they would make it a point to, you know, take us to the mountains or, you know, do all of this. And I keep coming back to monetarily poor, right? Like money wise, mm-hmm. because going back, we've always been rich. Mm-hmm. And I just think though that having those moments of connection, of community, of nature, you know, we're primed in Denver, Colorado or Colorado to have those moments for sure.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and it goes back to your mom wanting the house that you grew up in because there was a park across the street, because she wanted her children to be outside, to be in nature and to be able to play. So mm-hmm. I think that is the one other piece that I'm hearing in all of this is the playfulness mm-hmm. that you were brought up in is, you know, your parents and your siblings and you to get to be playful, that it isn't all serious serving, but being playful in the process.
Absolutely. We are a funny bunch. And sometimes I think in my mind that I am really just, I teach middle school because I really am just a middle schooler at heart. Mm-hmm. I will hear things or say things to my siblings and we're just laughing. We're a bunch of comedians. They are probably even more so than I am. But sometimes even in our family texts, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we not be serious for a moment? You have to find the lightness mm-hmm. and the comedy in all of it. Right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. it's so wild because yeah, my siblings, they're so funny and they crack jokes. And I keep going even to like moments of grief when we've been at funerals, you know, or just anything like this. And there is this funny moment of just levity and we're laughing and we bring it back because that's human too, mm-hmm. you know, and if nothing else, my dad, he is a big jokester. And so he is a funny, funny guy. And he will just with a look or a joke, he'll just break the tension. And that's what's needed. So I feel like, thank you for pointing that out, Emily, because I think that that is something that for sure runs in me mm-hmm. and in my family mm-hmm. is this idea of we have to be light because things can get heavy.
Is there anything that we haven't asked you about that you want to make sure you share?
Well, first of all, again, thank you guys so much for having me on and allowing me to talk about my family. I do feel like that is my grounding place. As we've said, the roots go deep. I think that as I've grown and matured and am at the age of, you know, what I want to leave with my children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband and I, we talk about this too, what the legacy that we want to leave. And in my culture, in Mexican culture, you know, we celebrate Day of the Dead. All of the customs and all of the traditions that we have, they are so beautiful because they're rooted in this mix of everything that is Mexicanness. So it's the indigenous, it's the European, it's the, you know, all of this mix of culture. Because when you go to Mexico, there is like everything, right? It really is like, I feel like Mexico is really the melting pot of a lot of cultures. So I think for me, and when I look at my own children, is leaving those roots firmly planted and making sure that they know where they come from, mm-hmm. not only in the family, but also our heritage, mm-hmm. because everything has an origin story. Like our origin story is my mom and dad and the journey that they took to get to Denver, Colorado, the roots that they planted. But beyond that, there's a whole culture that has followed us. And it's a really hard place to be sometimes, you know, when you have these different identities, but also different cultures. Right. And I've learned to embrace that as I've grown up, and I owe it to my family and to my parents specifically, because they're like, be proud. You know, yes, we're going to do this thing because it's part of our culture. And they made it a point for us to practice these traditions. And now I feel so grateful that I get to pass that along to my children, mm-hmm. even the language.
Yeah.
You know, I am bilingual. My girls are bilingual. And the fact that they can communicate with their grandparents in their language, the fact that we have these really interesting traditions based in our Mexicanness, you know, that sometimes may not make sense, but it's like, be proud, you know, and I love that they have that. And I love that I have that. And that's what I like to share with even my students, you know, is I'll say, this is my culture. This is who I am. I am sharing this with you. And to circle back, you know, Day of the Dead, when all is said and done and we are no longer here physically, it's the stories that are told and what we know about each other and the legacy that we left and the impact that keeps us living on, yeah. you know? And so that is something that I value. I am so lucky and blessed, rich, whatever you want to call it, that I have the roots, that they are strong, that they are grounded, that there are times when this tree may give out lots of fruits. Other times it may be bare, but it is there and it'll keep coming back.
Obviously, right now in America and the state of our union, immigration is a hot button topic. Mm. As I'm sitting here listening to you and with my eyes watering up, as I hear you talk to me about wanting to share the roots of who your parents are with who your daughters are becoming as women and people, I think to myself, what a huge miss for all of your seventh graders, for your daughters, for me, for our soul-stirred audience, if we had missed out on knowing you and having you. And if we had kept your parents blocked behind some sort of wall, you wouldn't be here. And so I just wonder, what do you make of that? And what would you like to say about any of that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Immigration and immigration issues are a big part of what I do in my life and personal life. Done border trips because I really feel that sometimes the stories that we hear, you know, we have to go in and research. And, you know, my story and my parents' story is just one thread, mm-hmm. and it happened decades ago, mm-hmm. right? And so I see people, newcomers, you know, immigrants who are on this journey of just wanting an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, and I've talked to people who have recounted and shared firsthand their trek and how long and hard, and it stirs me up, yeah. and it stirs my soul, yeah. because I think as humans and going back to acknowledging our humanity, if we do just hear the story of why and make that connection, we would maybe be open to it. You know, we would open our mind. Yeah. More welcoming. And going back to what I said earlier about we fear what we don't know. And that's when injustice happens, right? It's one of the main causes of injustice is fear, mm-hmm. along with all of the other things. But fear is primarily like that first stop of why injustice happens. Mm-hmm. And so we fear, and we're coming, sometimes maybe we feel like we're coming at things because we're going to lose out on something. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Casey, what we gain by acknowledging somebody's humanity, giving people a shot, going back to my own parents' story and the people who helped my parents and my siblings, were people who were just open-minded and listened and were able to provide something, mm-hmm. right? And it didn't cost a lot of money. It just the time to acknowledge a person's humanity, to offer that dignity and to give my dad a shot. Mm-hmm. He had never worked construction a day in his life. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't his trained profession. He was a barber, yeah. Came from a long line of barbers. You know, that's like the running joke. Dad came from a long line. He still cuts hair to this day, by the way.
Still, he contributed to building the tallest building in the
building, the tallest building. So it's just like all of these contributions that I feel that, you know, we don't know people's stories. We all come to the table with all of our stories. It's a very treacherous journey to come through a lot of the ways that people are coming through to get to just this place, and specifically Denver. So if you're willing to risk it all, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason. And my heart is open to that, you know, and I welcome the conversation, and most of all to understand and to have that empathy, but most of all, again, to just acknowledge our humanity.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what we want. We want to connect. We want a community, and we want the next best thing for our kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what my parents did, and that's what they're doing to this day, you know, by just existing and being. And my parents, they are faithful people. So they constantly are praying for the newcomers and immigrants. And I'll say what my dad says. He's like, I just feel like there's enough place for all of the humans in this world to just have a chance, you know?
Yes.
And so that's my take on it. You know, you can keep this or not, but that's my personal take.
Your dad sounds like a very wise man, and I affirm there is more than enough room here for us all.
I think we get kind of lazy with our ideas. You know, I think we need to be creative with our ideas and what we can do to make it all work. Yeah. You know, I sometimes think of, you know, when I'm trying to work at something and I'm like, oh, what's the easy route because it's been done before. Mm-hmm. But let's think outside the box and, you know, let's get creative with some ideas.
Yeah.
Well, get creative to what help you're each saying, other.
Yeah. Creativity is a really hard thing when you're filled with fear, right?
Exactly.
And question the fear.
Yeah.
Is the fear based in some made up thing that you're telling yourself or is it based in anything real? And where can you get some data? And turn the unknowns into knowns and put your stories to the test.
Absolutely. Just have a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that makes, you know, I've learned so much in my life that I know that this is such a cliche term, but, you know, judging a book by its cover, it's usually never wise to do that. You know, you'd be surprised. You open that up and you're like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that took a turn, plot twist. So it's just really important to do the work.
Yeah.
And I think that this is why you all have this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's why I'm in the field that I'm in, this career of education and being of service to others. And all of the hats and roles that we play, I think it's just, and definitely like the lesson that I learned from my parents. So let's get creative and not come from a place of fear.
Yeah. Amen. And so it is.
And even if you are feeling scared, know that you can be creative and you can get curious and you'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're hearing some themes. The future belongs to the curious. We never know the story that brought this person to this moment, but we can get curious about it.
Yeah. Haven't you been just so shocked in those moments where you have a totally different perspective or idea of what something might be. And then your mind is blown and you're like, why? Yeah. Why did I do that? You know, like, I've had those moments where I was like, why didn't I just give this a shot sooner? You know, we are where we need to be. And hopefully we can just keep that conversation going and keep evolving and keep getting creative.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for being here with us today, Christina. Your family's tree and the roots, it is such a beautiful story. And we're so grateful that you've shared it with us and that we can share it with our little sliver of the world.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated the time that you gave for me to share this story. It really is so important and is the foundation of who I am. And I carry those values with me on a daily basis. And I am just so proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and I would not be if it was not for them. So Thank you so much, Casey and Emily, for your time. And I just really enjoyed my time. Thank you.
You have inspired me. My heart is full. I am so glad to know you and to share your family story with our soul-stirred audience. Please tell your parents we said thank you.
Yes. I will. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, soul-stirred listeners, thank you for joining us. Remember, please share this episode or any episode on the show if you feel that it would be helpful to someone you know, and subscribe and download. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Take good care of yourselves and each other. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Soul Stirred, Stories of Growth and the Human Experience. We hope our stories have touched your heart and sparked reflections in your own journey.
Remember, while we are therapists, we are not your therapists, and this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you find yourself in need of professional support, please don't hesitate to seek it. Your well-being is important, and there are professionals out there who are ready to help.
We encourage you to carry the spirit of growth and connection with you. Life is a continuous journey, and we're honored to be part of yours.
Stay tuned for more captivating stories in the episodes to come. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other.